Listening to that commentator, Seamus Closen and Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance. But Peter Linus, first of all, I mean, go back to what we said in the opening, you know, the meeting or the meetings over the next number of days with the church leaders. What would you expect the church leaders to be saying to the minister? What would you like them to say to him?
Well, I think there's church leaders and others like ourselves will be engaged in that, and we're obviously responding to the consultation and meeting with the minister and saying, that we would welcome, and I think many of the churches, that this is a very limited consultation, and we want to recognise that. A little concerned that the minister picked up only one side, if you like, the pro-life side, and said they're using scare tactics. I mean, I think both sides, the Amnesty and the FPA and others, are pushing for the 67 Act wholesale, and they're on record on that. They've come up before the committee and said that. And so that's well beyond what's being consulted on.
So, what, but
the minister needs to be balanced in what he's saying.
Do you think the definition is key here? Do you agree at least with that? Of what is lethal fetal abnormality?
Well, yeah, so there are three things being consulted on. The rape clause, and it's very helpful to hear the minister saying he's not pushing for that. It is very concerning. The Human Rights Commission is trying to legally challenge that. The second is the conscience clause. And again, really good to hear the minister saying he supports the need for a conscience clause, and hopefully that'll be his view more widely. On a conscience clause in other areas of the law. And then finally, then, this definition. And the definition is really key because the consultation itself says no prospect of viable life, and that's what the minister said. And it says very specifically, babies born with this condition, brackets, anencephaly, do not survive. Now, that's actually wrong. Babies with anencephaly do survive. They are born live quite often, and the longest surviving baby with anencephaly is 3 years. Now, that is very unusual, but that's a factual inaccuracy in the consultation. So when it's wrong in the consultation, one begins to worry.
So no change for you, Peter. That would be your position.
Well, yeah, but we've got to understand why we're saying...
No, I know.
Yes, I mean, absolutely, we're saying, in the end, this is a human life, and once you start saying we can do something with a human life no matter what, we get very worried. But what concerns me more is that this is not a neutral consultation. The minister has a particular view, and we're very happy it is limited. We're very happy to talk to him, and generally very supportive of the minister. But in this one, I am a little concerned that the consultation itself appears to have a factual inaccuracy that says a baby with anencephaly, they do not survive, and that's just incorrect. So that once you build your law on that premise, then we've got serious concerns about the factual inaccuracies on their side. And the minister came on and said that it is the pro-lifers who are using scare tactics. And that's a little disappointing. He didn't say who. I'm not sure who he's referring to. And that's a little concerning for the debate. Both sides need to be able to debate this and to do it well, but it is actually the consultation document.
The point that he made was that it's important to stick to, you know, and the illustration that he gave was that, you know, that some were saying that, you know, there were things in the document that actually he wasn't proposing. And I think that was the point that he was trying to make, to be fair to him.
No, and as he's not here, I don't want to maybe get sighted. I mean, he didn't say who. I can't, you know.
Both times
he picked on one side of the debate. If you like, he went and said, there's a DUP member who's supportive of his idea. He's open to the idea of buffer zones. It's all one side, instead of saying, well, actually, there's other people pushing, the FPA and Amnesty are pushing for wholesale 67 Act. There are people on the other side, MLAs, who are pushing for a wholesale change in abortion law. So let's have that out in the open too and say some people do want to see the 67 Act brought in fully here. And if we have an inaccurate consultation, then that's a really dangerous start.
Also on the line is Seamus Close, the political commentator. Seamus, where do you stand on this? What do you make of these proposals and this public consultation?
Well, it's not often that I would find myself in the position of general agreement, nearly full agreement, with the minister, not only in taking the action by way of consultation on an issue that was raised rather emotively on the Stephen Nolan programme back in, I think it was 2013, the Sarah Yurt case, which the emotions, the raw emotions of all that's involved in this came to the surface. And the minister has reacted. I think he has reacted properly. He has reacted in a way that is tempered and is recognising that public consultation on the issues to which he has referred, fetal abnormality, on the question of rape and incest, where he's been very, very clear and explicit that he's just seeking opinions with regard to rape, and the question about conscientious objection. He has put that out in the public domain. He's now gone through a procedure of meeting with those who would be most concerned and impacted by this, And I think he's got to be commended. My general view, my personal view on it, is that I believe that life begins at conception. And therefore, what follows on from that is that we are dealing with human life. And that the decisions taken with regard to that should always bear that in mind.
So this change that's proposed around the issue of lethal fetal abnormality, would you support that change?
I support in broad terms the fact that two clinicians are going to be put in a position of deciding that the unborn child is incompatible with life, and that, as I understand it, they would be saying there is no treatment that would change that situation and make the baby capable of life or of living. And in those circumstances, I think that the woman, the mother, should have the right to choose whether or not she wishes that incompatible with life child to be terminated or not.
And your position, Seamus Close, I'm sure you'll appreciate, but may surprise some people this morning, given how anti-abortion you would have been seen or perceived during your political time as an MLA.
That is absolutely correct. I'm on the record, but I'm on the record always as saying that I believe that life begins at conception. If we're in a situation as it appears through fatal fetal abnormality, that child is no longer alive or will not live outside the womb, and two clinicians are attesting to that, then I don't have a particular problem. I do have problems, however, and I'm glad that the minister is only expressing or is seeking opinions. My opinion with regard to rape would be different, because if you believe that life begins with conception, there is no other area within the law where I think someone else's life is taken because of another crime. So I just can't find that compatible with general justice.
Peter Linus?
Well, Seamus and I are in full agreement in terms of the incidence of rape. I entirely agree that there's no other situation in which a life can be taken like that, and I think the minister's pretty much on record with that. And again, so in terms of this consultation, that's very helpful, though there is this challenge from the Human Rights Commission, which is seeking to subvert the whole consultation process and legally force us down a particular track. But in terms of the lethal fetal abnormality, and I think Seamus referred to fatal, and it's interesting the language has changed. Previously said fatal, now it's lethal, as if this is some sort of killer thing going on. Again, a baby with anencephaly, which is the case, as Seamus noted, that drove us to this consultation, it's very much driven by the Sarah Ewart case. In fact, her name is and her case is referred to in this consultation. Highly unusual, highly kind of emotive language used in it. But the condition there was anencephaly, which is incredibly serious, but the baby has a very high chance of being born alive. It will not survive for very long, though the longest surviving case is 3 years. Now, that's very difficult to say that's a condition that is incompatible with life. And again, it's two medical practitioners, not stated to be doctors. It doesn't say what kind of doctors, doesn't say what level they need to have in this consultation. And we know what's happened in England and Wales. It's two doctors. And currently, the DPP in England and Wales is not prosecuting somebody for making gender selections around a baby with two medical practitioners signing off. That's a factual reality in England and Wales. I'm not saying this consultation is directly leading to that, because I know the minister would want to come back immediately, but that's what happens with two medical practitioners. So the notion that is a high safeguard is difficult to sustain, given what we've seen in England and Wales.
Yeah, and on the basis of what you were saying as well before the news, because we didn't have time because the bulletin was coming up, in terms of this idea of pushing towards wider liberalisation, as the minister described it, it is specific in this document, where they say that the reason why they feel that the definition is so important is that if it's too broad or unspecific, the outcome will potentially be that abortion is legalised in cases over and above those envisaged in that objective, and the aim is to minimise the possibility that any change to the law on abortion will lead to such consequences.
So we currently do not have great recording here. It is possible to potentially have an abortion carried out and have that registered in different ways within our medical procedures. So the Health Minister admitted in a question in the Assembly recently, I think it was a year ago, that they couldn't say exactly how many abortions have been carried out under our current guidelines because there's not a clear reporting system. And this, again, doesn't seem to us to include that. So it is possible we wouldn't know. And again, no verification of the two doctors. So at the very minimum, if this was going to go through, we'd want to have a High Court judge sign off on this. That's what's being proposed in terms of the assisted dying legislation in England and Wales. Not something I support, but if you're going to go this way, you need to have this signed off by a judge to verify independently above the medical. So you say, two doctors say this is the case, the judge, so that we have it on public record. Somebody has to stand up and say, okay, I've signed off on terminating this life. I put my hand up. I'm the person who said, okay, this is allowed. I don't think we should do that at all, but if we're going to go this route, we need to have an incredibly high bar. Two doctors without any kind of recording system, without any kind of clear guidelines and responsibility, that's just recipe for what happened in England and Wales in the long term.
I want to bring Gráinne Taggart into the debate this morning from Amnesty International. Gráinne, what have you made of what you've heard so far this morning, both from the Minister? I know you've contacted the show. What have you made from what you've heard from the Minister and the subsequent opinions?
Thank you for that. Firstly, I would like to clarify something which Peter Lynas said, which is wholly inaccurate, which is that Amnesty International is calling for the extension of the 1967 Act to Northern Ireland, and then went on to refer to the Justice Committee evidence. We have been absolutely clear, and I have been absolutely clear, that we are not calling for the extension of the 1967 Act. We have a campaign underway at the moment, the My Body, My Rights campaign, which is calling for our laws, policies and practice to be reformed to enable women in cases of sexual violence and also where there are lethal abnormalities with the fetus to access termination of pregnancies at home in Northern Ireland without having to endure harmful and costly trips to England and elsewhere to avail of those healthcare services. So it is absolutely inaccurate for Peter Lynas to say that Amnesty is calling for that. We are not. So now that we have that cleared up, I think the consultation from the Department of Justice is a very useful instigator of a debate of what women's rights and what this situation looks like in Northern Ireland. We have a situation where in 2015, if a woman has been raped, she cannot access termination of pregnancy services. We think that is wrong. It flies in the face of international human rights standards, and we would like to see that change brought about. As far as the lethal abnormalities case go, yes, absolutely, Sarah York's case did serve to put the spotlight on some of the issues that women in those circumstances face. But Sarah York's case is unfortunately by no means uncommon. So what we need is a health system in Northern Ireland that is fit for purpose, and we can't continue to export our problem. Women need these healthcare services here at home, and we should be providing those. Legislative change is the first step to go about that. We will also then need guidance from the Department of Health to enable our medical practitioners to be clear on when they can provide termination of pregnancies and when they cannot.
Peter Lynas?
Yeah, sorry, I'm really happy to hear that. So, Gráinne, just to be really clear, Amnesty do not want to see the 67 Act in Northern Ireland.
I've been clear about that, yes.
That's really helpful, and I apologise then. My understanding was that they are from the Justice Committee. They want to see abortion simply from the woman's reproductive rights side, and we're seeking for abortion to be decriminalised, my understanding of the evidence.
We do come at this from a women's rights perspective. Of course, we think all legislation and policy should be based from a women's rights perspective, but we were asked the question very clearly. It was actually from the chairperson, Paul Gibbon, whether or not Amnesty supports the extension of the 1967 Act, and I said very unambiguously that is incorrect. We do not endorse any particular piece of legislation, including the 1967 Act. What we as Amnesty do is adhere to international human rights standards and what they say access should be. Obviously, in Northern Ireland, health is devolved and we make our own laws, so we need to bring in laws that are human rights compliant.
So Amnesty wants to see abortion much wider, though, than is proposed in this consultation?
No, I've already said what our My Body, My Rights campaign is calling for, and again, just let me be very unambiguous about this. It's for women in circumstances where there are lethal or severe abnormalities with the fetus, and also where women have been victims of sexual violence, for example, rape, or what is commonly referred to then as incest. That is what we are calling for, nothing wider. We're also calling for the Department of Health to publish their long-awaited guidance, because what we have is a situation at the minute where our medical practitioners are operating under a very real threat of criminal sanction. The 2013 guidance that was published under Edwin Poot did nothing to put the emphasis on the care of the woman. Instead, what it done was reinforce this climate of fear that many of our medical practitioners are experiencing. What we can't have is a continuation of this gap, this void, where the Department of Health don't produce guidance which has been court-ordered.
You are calling for abortion to be decriminalised.
No, the decriminalisation refers to the removal of criminal penalties against women. When I appeared before the Justice Committee, what we were talking about there was a proposal from Jim Wells, who, prior to being Health Minister, put down his signalled an intention to bring forward an amendment that would effectively mean that both women and medical practitioners would be imprisoned for up to 10 years for availing of healthcare services. Again, that goes against human rights standards, so we were objecting on those grounds.
If you could both stay with us, there's a number of calls on this. Also, Seamus Close, I want to come back to you as well, so I haven't forgot about you. 0845955678, the number to call. Let's go to Darren first. Darren, good morning to you.
Morning.
Go on ahead, Darren.
I'm just wondering what churches have to do with, especially this subject, when they're already presetting what they want.
Well, I suppose the idea of a public consultation is to consult with all areas of the public.
Yes, but the churches, I mean, through the years we've already heard this on the Nolan Show itself. Churches are already, they've already got their idea set in stone that they're against abortion. So why, personally, I think consultation in this here should be the people that's involved. The likes of Sir, all our parents that have lost kids through fatal abnormalities, things like that. Churches really are, so what's it got to do with them? They've already made their mind up what they want.
Yeah, but you could probably say for both sides of any argument that there are a lot of people who would engage in a consultation who have a preset idea of what side of the argument they're going to fall. You know what I mean? You can't say you're going to open something up to public consultation and then say, but certain parts of the public can't have a say.
No, I understand that. I fully agree with it. I mean, I'm pro-choice to an extent. I'm not for somebody running every couple of months to go and get an abortion, but if the likes of rape and stuff like that, a church is totally against abortion anyway. They're not going to consider what somebody's feelings are if they've been raped and they're pregnant. I mean, who has a forestormant to consider if somebody's raped and they're pregnant, how they feel? They should carry that child just because they said so. I mean, every circumstance is different. I think more emphasis should be put on the likes of parents who have had really ill kids or people who have been raped and stuff like that. A church, really, from a preconceived start point, they're not going to change.
Well, let's put that point to Reverend Eric Smith, who's called the programme this morning. Reverend Smith, what do you say to Darren this morning?
Well, Darren's answered mainly what I want to say. This should be taken to the people of Northern Ireland. They should have a vote in it. Politicians, judges have no right to rule over the majority of people's point of view in an election. We vote for politicians, but the politicians have not come with these issues during the last election. So therefore, I believe the easy way out is to bring it before the people on these issues, abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage and so forth, and then let the people decide what they want to do.
So you think that those issues and perhaps others, I don't know, are worthy of almost referendum?
Yes, a referendum. That's what's needed, because everybody's a point of view, and it's wrong for the sentiment to say that the churches represent people, and they represent the people who probably can't talk for themselves. They want us to represent them. So we speak on their behalf as a body of church leaders. And so therefore, and that's a large, large assembly of the people of Northern Ireland. And so therefore, the easy way out, have a referendum.
Of course, the next issue around that would be, what do you describe as an issue that's worthy of referendum and what isn't?
Well, all the ones that you and your Stephen are debating on TV, and every week you hear it, and all people are getting took to court for all sorts of things because they don't agree of doing for the homosexuals what they want. And so therefore the people should have a say, and that they're over. The people have spoken, and the politicians listen to the people, and it's time to sit, listen to the people and hear their views and legislate for that, what the majority of people want and the law to be in this country.
As a former politician yourself, it seems as if you're being sort of quite scathing of the current breed.
Oh yes, yeah, well, I certainly am. I'm sad to say that I'm glad I'm not there, because I think It's a shame what's happening to our wee country. Things need to be done, and yet we're hearing politics and news. And I say, let the people speak, be honest with the people, and let the people vote on it, and then that's the issue sorted out.
Reverend Smith, I hope you don't mind me saying your clock's 2 minutes slow.
I know.
you need to fix that. Darren, what do you think of what Reverend Smith had to say there in terms of taking these sorts of issues? I mean, I know it opens up maybe a can of worms in terms of what is an issue worthy of a referendum and what isn't, but, you know, of taking these thorny issues directly to the people, forget about consultation, take it to a referendum.
Well, it actually surprised me that for once I sort of agree with Reverend. I mean, I wasn't expecting to hear that, to be quite honest. I think the people do need a say in it rather than... I've been on with Steve many a time saying I think the DUP are led by their religion. And I think for this, the people do need to have a say in something like this. It is a big issue here.
Seamus Close, what do you make of that? Do you think it's an issue that would be worthy of taking directly to the people?
Well, as a cynical former politician, there was an old maxim or guideline that ran around within politics that you only had a referendum as a government whenever you knew what the result was going to be. Now, there's cynicism at its extreme. Taking off my politician's hat, there are serious questions with regard to referenda. I mean, you've got to, for example, what is the question? How do you frame that question? And in the context of what we've been discussing...
Well, we saw the rows around even the framing of the question around the Scottish independence referendum.
Absolutely, and it was relatively black and white in comparison to what we're discussing here. And in many respects, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. The minister has a paper out to consultation that ends on the 17th of January. After that consultation, a report will presumably be drawn up. It'll go to the executive. If there's agreement that the law should be changed, then it comes into train the whole process of establishing that legislation. And that is a very, very tricky and a very concise piece of work.
And the minister, of course, was saying, you know, he doesn't envisage it basically happening before the next election. So, I mean, how concerning is that?
Sorry?
How concerning would it be for you that, you know, it would be pushed beyond another assembly election?
Well, I think you're being unfair there to say that it will be pushed. This would be an extremely important piece of legislation. And just listening to the different comments, the bar, for example, Peter Linus was referring to how high the bar would have to be set with regard to clinicians and whether other people should be involved. That is a very probable situation, but that would have to be defined in legislation. And to get the wording and to get that legislation correct would have to go through the various committee stages, etc. And the individuals and people, again, would have the opportunities of commenting and letting their politicians know how they feel about the level at which the bar, for example, is being set. Again, on the whole question about rape, if it was decided through this that an opinion has been expressed by the minister or that there was going to be legislation, they're very, very difficult, very tricky situations, and the legislation is going to take time if, and I would like to hope that everyone would like to get this legislation correct if there's to be a change in it.
I want to bring Stephen, and he's been waiting patiently. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Joel. Thank you very much for letting me on.
Not at all.
Joel, I understand the logic that people are saying about this. If the child has an abnormality, or is that released from Amnesty International, said a severe abnormality. I just wonder, Joel, what kind of an image or what kind of a message does that send to parents who have a child or have children with a disability? A severe life-limiting disability. If people here are calling that they should be allowed to be aborted,
they're not saying in those they're saying that's where the definition comes in, where they're saying a lethal, fatal abnormality.
Well,
with no prospect of a viable life. That's where the difference is.
Well, even then, the lady from Amnesty International, I know she said severe abnormality, but even if you wanted to say that, then what about parents who have had children who have died? Is that saying that their time was wasted? Is that not saying that their child wasn't as important? I just think it sounds a very negative...